This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Last week we spoke about the fact that Eli Sharabi, the former hostage in Gaza, was visiting New York. And he, just to remind listeners, he spent 491 days in captivity in Gaza. And he addressed the United Nations Security Council. For those who haven't had the opportunity to listen to his speech, I would strongly recommend that you have take a few moments and find it online. It's relatively easily available. And it's quite horrifying about the conditions that he had to endure while in Gaza. Aside from that, he was received in New York as something of a hero, lots and lots of support for him with good reason. But just one fascinating little snippet is that he chose to visit the grave of the late Lubavitcher Rebbe, which many people like to do. It's something of a shrine in Crown Heights in New York. And Eli Sharabi went to the grave. He said Kaddish at the grave. Let's not forget that not only has he lost his wife and two daughters, his brother and his nephew's bodies are still being held in Gaza. He lost, as well as his wife and two daughters, a brother and a nephew whose bodies have yet to be returned. But this is the little kicker from the whole experience of his visit to the grave of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. His brother Sharon visited Chabad headquarters last year to pray at the grave of the Lubavitcher Rebbe for the return of Eli and other hostages. And Eli returned to the grave 1 year later to the day that his brother Sharon had been there and prayed for his safe release. And this time Sharon was with him. The two of them came together to the grave for Sharon. And prayed not only for the release of the bodies of his nephew and his brother, but of course of the release of all the other hostages. All their names were mentioned at the graveside, and Eli also recited Kaddish for his brother, for his nephew, for his wife, and for his daughters, all of whom have been killed throughout this period since October the 7th. So just an incredible story. He also mentioned while he was there that they try to say Shema Yisrael every morning, the Shema prayer every morning. And he says, every Friday night we try to make Kiddush. We didn't have wine, so we used water.
Just incredible.
The words of Eli Sharabi.
Just absolutely unbelievable. These stories are, I mean, if they don't restore faith in some way, then I'm not sure what does. But just incredible. The IDF has been successful in carrying out a number of targeted attacks in which members of the Hamas political bureau have been killed. So to me, this is absolutely fascinating because we're starting to see, I mentioned to listeners earlier, similar types of information and intel that we have become accustomed to with Hezbollah. We're now seeing it with Hamas, finally. Tell us what is known about this operation.
Well, very, very quietly, because it seems, I mean, there's obviously a lot of activity going on in Gaza. We know that Israeli ground troops are in Gaza at the moment. We also have seen pictures of tanks gathering along the borders ready to re-enter Gaza. Operation that's been carried out in Gaza seems to be extremely, extremely well organized and incredibly led by very, very accurate intelligence. And that intelligence has led IDF forces to attack the Sheba hospital yesterday, where we understand that the Hamas prime minister of Gaza, who had been injured the previous week in an attack that was carried out by Israeli forces and had been taken to Sheba hospital for treatment because he was injured in a previous Israeli attack. Well, Israel decided that while he's being treated in Sheba hospital, we will just attack him there. And that's exactly what happened, that the Israeli forces managed to isolate him apparently on the second floor of Sheba hospital, and that a strike was carried out on the hospital in which this individual, a member of the Hamas political bureau and also recently appointed prime minister of Gaza, was killed in the same way that his predecessor was killed only a week or two beforehand. So a number of members of the Hamas political bureau who have been carried out, who have been killed, is now stands, as we understand it, according to the latest information, six who've been killed over the course of the last week or two. And what we're seeing is a very, very targeted operation with incredible intelligence about where people are located. One, for example, was located in a tent in one of those refugee areas. A member of the Hamas political bureau was there with his family. Israel found him there and targeted him and killed him along with his family to take him out of the picture. So the operation that we're seeing in Gaza seems to be multi-pronged, but very, very accurately carried out, targeting in particular members of the Hamas political bureau as opposed to the military side of things. Because in the first part of the war, we saw a lot of attention being paid to members of the military bureau, people who were at the time marshalling the forces. Yahya Sinwar, of course, was one of those, even though he was also a member of the political bureau, but he was considered to be on the military side, on the operational side, carrying out and marshalling attacks and being responsible for military operations. Now the focus seems to be on the political side, and it seems to me that this is all about making sure that Hamas has no possible way to be in charge of Gaza after the end of these events, whenever they are. So even though this is a military operation, and clearly there will be a lot of attention paid to military forces and military leaders, we understand that most of those people are at the moment in tunnels underground, including Mohammed Sinwar, the brother of Yahya Sinwar, who seems to be now the person who is in charge of the military operations. Targeting these people in the tunnels is clearly a much, much more difficult task and requires a lot more intelligence, and also operationally becomes very difficult, because one of the things that we understand is that these are people who like to surround themselves with hostages. And we understand that the attacks that Israel is carrying out right now are very, very cautious about not targeting areas where we believe hostages may be held in order to endanger the lives of hostages. Having said that, of course, we are unable to estimate what the impact on the hostages has been over the last few weeks of the return to war. But right now, what we certainly can see, and Hamas are making no secret of this, is the fact that Israel has been incredibly successful in targeting members of the Hamas political bureau and taking them out in very, very targeted ways. In fact, some of these operations are quite astonishing, and many of them in their own right might justify a book or a movie of some sort. And yet we're seeing multiple attacks of this sort being carried out every day, very targeted, lots of good intelligence, and extremely accurately carried out.
Incredible. And on the other hand, thousands of Israelis have continued to protest across Israel against actions being taken by the government. So last night, government held a vote of no confidence in the Attorney General. We've got the Shin Bet story. What is really going on the streets of Israel?
Yeah, I think people on the streets are extremely frustrated, angry, confused about what's going on at a governmental level. And the problem is the extent of the infighting. There doesn't seem to be any agency that we can really put our trust in and say, look, we really believe that they are the main upholders of our democracy. And we really need that right now. Israelis are very much lacking any political stability whatsoever. When October the 7th came around and caused us to question our security establishment and the military establishment in whom we had placed our unwavering faith and support and belief over many, many years, for good reason, because they'd undertaken incredible work and protected the state of Israel since its inception in a way that every single operation, I think many people know this, that every single operation and every single war has to be won, because the consequences of not winning are the possibility of the destruction of the state. And so there has been such a lot of such a lot at stake in terms of fighting these wars and in terms of doing a good job to protect our security. And then along comes October the 7th, and we begin to question our security and our military establishment because of the failures that took place, their failure to protect us on that day. And then we dig a little bit deeper and we understand that those failures run even further through the establishment. We understand that the people on the front line had done their job, that information had been passed on to the establishment, that decisions that were taken at the upper echelons were faulty, were based on false assumptions. And as a result of that, we are now in this war situation. And there have been a lot of questions about the Prime Minister and our coalition government and how they have behaved. And then the Prime Minister begins to sow seeds of doubt in the Shin Bet, which is the Internal Security Agency. The Prime Minister has been at loggerheads with the Attorney General for the longest period of time. And there doesn't seem to be any cohesion, any sense of cooperation, any sense of trying to come together to pull things together in order to fight this battle as a single unit rather than as disparate parts of the Jewish nation. I think at the very highest level, we all have the same intention. We want to fight this battle in order to save our country, in order to secure Israel, in order to secure a good future for our children and for our grandchildren. And I think there are very few people who would disagree with that. But from there to where we are today, which is how we go about that, and who will be responsible, and how we how is best to deal with that, how we deal with members of the international community to marshal their forces. This is really where things really break down. And as you mentioned, we've seen the Prime Minister fire the government, fire the head of the Shin Bet, which took place at the end of last week. And last night, the government took a vote of no confidence in the Attorney General, and everybody seems to be fighting against each other. Now, my comment on this is that there may well be smoke where there may well be fire where there is smoke, that nobody is above the law. Even the head of the Shin Bet, even the chief of general staff, even the attorney general, even the prime minister are accountable for their actions. And to the extent that people are not carrying out their jobs in the way that our democracy demands, they should be held accountable for that. And there is nobody who's above the law, and I'm expecting that everybody has made their mistakes over the past little while. My issue is the way in which this has been dealt with, very, very divisively, very, very trying to create divides within our society. And I think that that is counterproductive. If you want to fire the Attorney General, there's a way of doing it. You don't believe in what she's done. You don't think that she demands the confidence of the government. Go about it, but don't allow other ulterior motive to sneak in, because the latest thing that the government is saying is that the reason that the Shin Bet head was fired was because he was the one who created the whole Qatar Gate story in order to detract attention from his failings. And The head of the Shin Bet is saying the other way around. The reason that he's being fired is because he's investigating Qatargate, because that is not something that the Prime Minister should have been involved in. And I would say everybody should be held accountable. But let's try and do it in a slightly more democratic and more inclusive way rather than dividing our society. That's my rant for the day.
And boy, do I hear it, Anthony Reich. Thank you, as always, for the Israel Report. I'd love your thoughts on Anthony's rant. 061-895-1019. We'll catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.